The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gary Capewell to look ahead to the best of Wednesday's action. We're going to look everywhere, really. We've got one at Newcastle to look at, one at Leicester, and one at Chelmsford City as well. There's Kempton on the evening as well as all that. So plenty to look forward to on Wednesday. And we're going to have a quick look at some Cheltenham markets as well, following all of the clues that we've seen over the last few days. The weekend was fantastic, of course, with Cheltenham and Leopardstown. Hello, Mr. Capewell. How are you?
Oh, good, thank you, Alex. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad.
Good.
Obviously, we're recording this before racing on Tuesday, and there's only the two meetings on Tuesday, but fortunately on Wednesday we've got four to look at.
And fingers crossed, yes.
Yeah. And generally a pretty solid level of grade, if you like, isn't it? There's not many dismal races, put it that way. It's pretty competitive fare for a midweek car.
Yeah, it's certainly better than the Tuesday fare, if I'm honest. And obviously Chelmsford have put on some decent prize money, and they've been rewarded with a good looking card.
They have indeed. Before we get on to that, we'll just have a chat. The front of the Racing Post, obviously dominated by Willie Mullins today.
Mm-hmm.
Given the strength of his festival contenders, no surprise there. It happens a lot. Five of the seven races on day one of Cheltenham, Willie Mullins has the favourite for.
Yes.
That's Duvan for the Supreme, Fahin for the Champion Hurdle, Underso for the Arkle, Annie Powell for the Mayor's Hurdle, and Don Polly for the National Hunt Chase.
Yeah, should Don Polly go there?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's got all the candidates anyway.
Well, he's also Don Polly also favourite for the RSA Chase later in the week. So, but nevertheless, it just highlights the strength that he has. I mean, we're offering 2-5 for him to be the top trainer. And although 2-5 is short, it's pretty hard to see past, isn't it?
I guess so, really. You don't get too many trainers having more than sort of 2 or 3, do you? So they're quite evenly spread out. Obviously, the handicaps are ultra-competitive. And it's not beyond the realms that you could have this sewn up after the first four races.
Yeah, that's
true. Or first five races, sorry. I can't remember where the Mayor's Hurdle now sits. But yeah.
No, it is... A frightening array of talent.
Just a bit.
He's got 33 festival wins to his name, third only to Nicky Henderson with 51 and Paul Nichols with 34. You'd fancy he'll probably overtake Nichols at Cheltenham this year. We're going to focus on one of Mullins' runners in a little bit more detail here. That's Underso. He'll be running in the Arkle. He's 4-5 to win it with us, 8-1 Josses Hill and Votor, 12s for Vibrato Valtat, 14s for Clarkham and Petty Zig, 16s for Gil Gamboa, 20s for Sergeant Reckless, 25s for Court Minstrel, Godzone and Smashing, and 33s or bigger the rest. Sergeant Reckless tipped up today by Pricewise, anti-post Pricewise for the Arkle, and has subsequently been nibbled at. We'll start with Underso. 4-5 is a very short price for a front-running horse around Cheltenham. Discuss.
Yeah, albeit I don't think I'd rather have anybody else on him from the front rather than Ruby, as we saw last year in the RSA Hurdle with Fahin. He made all of the running. I admit it isn't the easiest thing to do, but I just think he's that much better than anything else in the race. I know Craig Forsyth, one of our colleagues, is going to be strongly against him, reading what he was putting on Twitter on Sunday after the race. But, I mean, like Tom Segal says in the Post today, as we record this, if you were owned one of the horses that's sort of third, fourth, or fifth favourite, well, to be fair, he's beaten most of those anyway already. You'd have been pretty scared. I mean, Vitor's in the market, but he's going to go JLT, I would imagine. I mean, Josses Hill, he's a horse that I like. He won at Doncaster earlier on in the year, but Petit Zig had actually beaten him when I wasn't completely convinced with his jump. You could ask it on his seasonal return.
I don't mind Petty Zig.
Yeah, I mean, he won there on New Year's Day. I'm completely convinced what he beat there. Mm. But obviously he was... they thought highly enough of him. Did they run him in the champion? I think they must have.
Yeah, they did.
Was he sixth? Wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's obviously very well thought of. I mean, and so they didn't even bother running him in the champion last year, did they? Just let him, just left him alone, didn't go to any of the festivals, did he?
No.
But the way that horse jumped on Sunday was very, very impressive, considering it was only his third start over fences. The worry I have with him is he got into a bit of a sweat. I don't know what Ken said about him in the paddock, but he definitely got in a sweat down at the start. It was pretty cold at Leopardstown, I think. He's clearly an excitable horse, so you would just worry a little bit about him getting a bit too buzzed up, perhaps, the occasion of it all.
Well, he's not run at Cheltenham before, has he?
He's never ran at Cheltenham before, and say they didn't take him to the... when they took him to O'Toy a couple of times during the spring last year. There's nobody there for those races anyway, so neither here nor there. They didn't run him at Punchestown either, so obviously it's quite a buzzy atmosphere there. It would have been fairly busy at Leopardstown, but there's going to be 30-odd thousand people at Cheltenham.
There has been talk of potentially one of the rivals putting a sort of a spoiler in, a fellow front runner to disrupt him.
Which, and I Carvel's Hill, yeah.
Yeah, it may not be... entirely sporting, but nevertheless, if it happens, it's going to have a real factor on the race, isn't it? If Undersell can't get into a rhythm, can't lead, can't dictate as he likes to do, then it is going to really hinder his chances, isn't it?
Yes, it would. It may well be that Ruby decides to just let the other horse do its own thing.
I still think there's enough there, though, to oppose at 4-5.
Possibly. I personally think unless the occasion gets to him, you're betting on him 4-5. If you're opposing him, you're betting on him falling. That's it.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned. But it's not a race that I really want to have a bet in, if I'm perfectly honest, because albeit it has an okay each-way shape about it, I think you're wasting the win part of the bet. So it wouldn't be a race where I... personally have a bet. Having said that, I can see why Tom Seagal's gone for Sergeant Reckless. I saw this horse when he won at Etoxeter. He's a lovely horse, this fella. And he won there towards the back end of October, beating Gentleman John and Horatio Hornblower. Not sort of spectacular form, but it was the way that he jumped. He didn't touch a twig the whole way around. It's been interesting bit of sort of placing with him after that. Obviously, he was fifth in the Christmas hurdle, and then easily won a maiden at Lingfield on the 9th of January. It's a little bit... I mean, I think he is going to have one more run, but they want better ground, don't they? So Warwick Huntingdon and Newbury, there are options for him. You'd probably want him to have one more run, for albeit that he did jump well. He talks us to... It'd be asking a fair bit for a horse to go there on the back of just one chase run, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so in summary, are you with Underso or not?
I can't really oppose him, but I don't. Yeah, there are some reservations about the occasion maybe getting to him. But personally, if you're going to oppose him, I think you're opposing him and hoping that he falls, because that's the only real reason I can see him not winning.
Okay, fair enough. Right, we'll move on to Wednesday's action then. We're going to start with the 220 at Newcastle, which is a handicap chase over 3 miles. Just the five runners going to post-day capers, but you could definitely give a chance to all five, really. You've got No Through Road, who arrives here in fantastic heart. Silverton, who's also in good form. Outlaw Tom, very consistent, as is Little Glenshee. And Beeves is definitely better than he's been showing of late.
Yeah, let's go through those one by one. The drying ground would be a concern for Outlaw Tom. who likes it absolutely bottomless. He's a bit of a Hexham specialist. Mm. Silverton was second, but that was in a mares-only race, and a pretty weak one, I thought, at Kelso, albeit that she still has the scope to improve a little bit. Biebs is definitely getting a well-handicapped look about him, but even though this is a slight step, well, it's a big, real step down in grade, again, he's not really for me. Little Glenshee is interesting, but he's got a big old weight to shoulder, and that was a pretty hard run at Haydock the other day. It's only coming 11 days after that, albeit he was doing all his best work in the closing stages. But only 11 days ago, I'd have my reservations about him. And then we come to No Through Road, who's won 5 of his last 6. That would have been 6 out of 6 if he hadn't fallen at the last at Weatherby on Boxing Day. And he absolutely dotted up at Ayr last time out. He didn't really make any mistakes that day. As I say, it was really pretty much... He made one or two mistakes at Weatherby, but he would have definitely won. He was a bit unlucky that he came down. He won well at Ayr last week. That was 7 days ago. He's got the £7 penalty to carry before the handicapper assesses him. He's now off a mark of 110. He started his winning at Worcester during October off the 70s. So something's obviously clicked with this horse fairly quickly. And to be honest, I think he's very difficult to oppose. So he is the selection in the 220.
Okay, 220 at Newcastle. The pick is No Through Road. Next up is the 3 o'clock from Leicester, which is a novice's limited handicap chase. Almost 3 miles of the trip, just shy of, with 8 runners down to go to post. If all 8 stay in, there'll be a nice each-way field to this capers, because there isn't an absolutely standout contender, despite the fact that there are some nice types in
there. There are some nice types in this. Azure Fly has won a couple of times already this season. Ballybough Pat shaped okay on the first run from the back of a break at Kempton in the Lanzarote hurdle. I think Fences were always going to be his bag. Harder Men makes his seasonal debut. I think he's entitled to need the run as he makes his chasing debut. Stoleray now won at Taunton just over a month ago. He made virtually all that day. But he might get taken on for the lead with Azure Fly here, so we'll need to give him the swerve. Medieval Chapel is a horse that I know they think is better than what he's shown thus far, but I still thought he should have perhaps shown a bit more when he was third here at Leicester last time out. And then we come to a horse that I really like, a horse who's won here over hurdles, and he will be this election. He's another one making his chasing debut. Algernon Pazam for Nigel Twiston Davis. Now, this horse finished second here in November of last season before winning here in Conditional Jockeys Novices Hurdle over 2.5 miles in December. Then finished second behind Urban Him at Haydock. And that was just before the end of the year. And then he was they kept him in novice company, never really ran him in handicap company before he was second at Warwick. And then he actually won at Warwick the week before the Cheltenham Festival when the rider did well to win Sam Twiston Davis Saturday because he had some real problems with the reins. And he showed a really nice attitude to battle on gamely to wear down his nearest pursuer on that occasion. He makes his chasing debut. Sam keeps the ride. He's certainly bred for chasing. You just look at that pedigree. And he's a really interesting runner tomorrow. Obviously, Upswing, we've got to mention as well, taking a step down in grade, but he hasn't been seen since he finished down the field in the Fixed Brush Novice Hurdle at Haydock in November on Betfair Chase Day, a race that traditionally John Joe has got a bit of a sighter in for some of his horses, and that's often worked out quite well if you look forward to Cheltenham and things like that. So maybe tomorrow isn't the day. I'll be keeping a close eye on him, but I think Algernon Pazam is a very interesting runner, so he gets the selection in the 3 o'clock.
Okay, I'm going to move to the Polytrack for the final race we're going to look at. It's the 3:10 from Chelmsford City, a handicap over 6 furlongs, a Class 2 event. Plenty of recent winning form coming to the table in this one. One that I'm very interested in here, Capers, is Fear or Favour at the bottom. Yeah, bottom weight, unexposed, and has got some pretty smart pieces of form. Granted, 3 of his career runs have been at Bath.
Yeah.
But he could be anything, this one.
Could be anything. I know this is a horse, he's on my tracker, and I think Ken must have said that he liked him one day when he saw him somewhere. Obviously, he's only had the three starts. I actually napped him that day that he... sorry, he's had more than three career starts. I actually napped him that day that he won at Bath last year in April. Mm. And I think I definitely napped him the day he won there in August as well, the previous season. He was second there in a nursery sandwiched in between those, which was it was the run at Windsor where Ken said that he really liked him. And he was given a sort of nice introduction ride behind Rizal Park. Actually, that form worked out quite well. Mm. But they ran him in the Sprint Trophy last, I think it was FA Cup final day, the 15th of May last year. I'm pretty sure it was, yeah. It was the day that they had the massive rollover on the Scoop 6, I seem to remember. This horse kept on well in the closing stages that day. And that was a red hot race, that race won by Eastern Impact. And he wasn't beaten that far. Obviously, that was off a mark of 84. He got raised £3 for that. Why he was kept off between now and then, I don't know. We might find out tomorrow in the paper. I'm sure that will probably be the race of the day. So we might get a few quotes from some of the connections. But he's certainly still unexposed, this horse, and he's a horse that I really, really like. Guishan won here the first at the meeting they had here last Thursday night. He has to be respected. Fairway to Heaven's looking off a sort of better mark now. Trojan Rocket, very consistent. Obviously, that one's Fairway to Heaven's stable companion. This horse has won his last two, one at Kempton and one at Wolverhampton. Latter on at Wolverhampton, coming over 5 furlongs, but he's won over 6 furlongs before, so I don't really see the trip being an issue for him. Steel River was in good form towards the early part of the all-weather season. Form tapering off a little bit, perhaps slightly, but he's getting back down to a workable mark. And we have to mention the top two. Pretend, who's won his last two, both at Wolverhampton, both over 5 furlongs. Takes a step up in trip this afternoon. They originally raced him over 7 furlongs, and he finished down the field in the Maidan Classic trial last year. He's clearly a horse that they like, the boys in blue, so he has to be respected, but he's likely to take a fair chunk out of the market, I think. We should also mention Glenn Moss for Martin Mead, a trainer that I really like. He'll find this a bit easier than when running in a listed contest at Newbury back in September. He also ran in the City of York Stakes as well, and the Bunbury Cup, and all kinds of other good races. He won in... he was really well backed, actually. He's got a new trainer now. He's really well backed when he finished second at Kempton in April of last year, before winning not long after that at Haydock, when he was a bit of a market drifter. Obviously, he's with new connections now. He's been bought. I'm not sure how much for. I'll have to check that tomorrow. But Martin Mead has him. He's in good hands. Interesting to see how he gets on. But Fair or Favour's got plenty in his favour, hopefully. Nice draw. Ryan Tate keeps the rider, he knows the horse well, so he gets the selection in the 3-10.
Great stuff, Capewell. Can we just have a spin through your three picks for Newcastle, Leicester and Chelmsford on Wednesday?
In the 2:20 at Newcastle, No Through Road. In the 3 o'clock at Leicester, Algernon Pazam. And in the 3:10 at Chelmsford, probably the race of the day, we're going for Fear or Favour.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.